From KMUW Wichita.
From Toronto, Ontario.
And from Armenia, Spain.
This is You're Saying It Wrong. Let's talk words. Let's talk more about letters and the words that they spell. It's part two of our oh-so-tricky spelling quiz. I'm Fletcher Powell, host and producer at KMUW in Wichita, Kansas. And joining me, as they do each week, language experts and New York Times best-selling authors, Kathy Petras and Ross Petras. Hey there, Kathy. Hey, Ross. You know, I saw something this morning, and when I saw it, I thought, this just doesn't pass mustard. or the ketchup or the mayo.
I was going to say, yeah.
I was going to do the ketchup, too.
I'm looking that up. I'm just curious how common that is.
Doesn't pass the mustard?
Does it? Not the mustard. That would at least slightly make more sense. No, it just doesn't pass mustard.
Pass mustard. Apparently, they're saying here it's a fairly common, incorrect, common mishearing of the idiom pass mustard. That's interesting.
Pass mustard.
Merriam-Webster has muster or mustard, which gets a pass. That's interesting. They even have a thing. Oh, wow, though. They have here on Merriam-Webster this from George Allen, England. Keep off the grass. I think he was joking. Just a few more cracks at the old typewriter and I'll really begin to have something that will pass mustard.
I think that's a joke. I mean, don't you? I mean, I say silly things like that to be witty.
I'm going to look up George Allen England as we speak to see if he was a humorist or a serious man, let's say.
The most serious man who ever lived, George Allen England.
Well, George Allen England is actually, he's in Wikipedia. An American writer and explorer known for his speculative and science fiction. He looks very serious.
Yeah, say speculative. He's like humorously speculating about.
I don't know. It's interesting. There's a legend that he disappeared on a treasure hunt.
Oh, I like that.
That sounds interesting. I like the guy.
I don't buy it.
Well, anyway, I did actually see somebody say that this morning, so I just thought it was pretty funny. I kind of wonder, so when something like this happens, I wonder whether somebody actually thinks that that phrase makes sense, or do they just think that's the phrase, like so many other phrases. Like
I think it's the latter. It's an eggcorn.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful. It's a perfect example of an eggcorn. I actually am wondering though. Do you think people do it the opposite way? Like cut the mustard. Do some people say cut the mustard? Do you think?
I'm just looking that up right now. I don't think they do.
I wonder because we don't use mustard that much unless we're talking about passing muster or mustering up the courage or something. Right?
Yeah.
But like, those are the only times we ever use the word muster. If you had asked me before we brought this up and had context, if you had asked me, what does muster mean? I would not have been able to give you an answer because that's a weird word. Mm-hmm. And we only seem to use it in certain phrases, even though those phrases aren't necessarily related. Like pass the muster is not the same as muster up the courage, right? Muster doesn't mean the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's interesting though. We've talked about that before. It's really a fossilized word now. Mm-hmm. We do not, like you just said, we do not use it except in certain fossilized context.
Well, you use it about mustering the troops, don't you?
But again, that's sort of a fossilized concept. How many times do you muster troops, Kathy?
I often hear, Ross. I have a very big... We have a helicopter place right nearby, I swear to God. So I'm there every day.
I mean, we do use it in that sense, like to gather or to call up, like muster courage, muster strength, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, do you guys know it's related to monster? I didn't realize that.
Monster?
No.
Well,
how could it be related to monster?
Well, it comes from the Latin monstrare, which is to show. And then from to show, you get monstrum, which is omen or sign. And from there, you get monster.
That's interesting. Wow. So maybe we should say, they don't pass monster.
It doesn't pass monster.
Yeah, that's weird.
Well, I mean, that makes about as much sense as pass mustard. See, like, I'm imagining if something doesn't pass mustard, that just means that it's quite rude and it's not sharing at the table.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
If you're not passing mustard?
If you're not passing mustard. Yeah, if it doesn't pass
mustard.
You're
not passing the... Yeah, you're hoarding the mustard.
Now, what did mustard? What's the background of mustard, though?
Oh, the word mustard?
Yeah, came from must, from the Latin, new wine.
New wine.
Yeah, that's right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense, of course.
Okay, pass the mustard. Pass the mayo. Sorry. I want egg salad.
Okay,
now.
Moving right along.
We are going to return to the terribly difficult spelling quiz that you all gave me last week. A few more words.
I kept my scorecard.
Oh, you did. That's fun.
The next, this batch, Fletcher, is worse than the last batch.
Great.
We had we found a book and we were using part of that to basically get these words. And this was called the super
Words. Bad category. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So, okay.
Oh, but first,
we have a question.
An email from Carrie in New Orleans.
Hi, Carrie.
Who said, you might have talked about this before, but I couldn't find it. It's a debate I'm having with a friend, and I know what I think, but I want experts to weigh in. The question, are ED endings to verbs always the past tense? I wish Carrie had told us which they thought was the case.
Yeah, that's a sort of an interesting question, actually. Fletcher, what do you want to have? Let's have Fletcher weigh in first, and then we can weigh in.
Boy, I'm trying to think of an example of a verb that ends in ED that is not past tense. I can't think of one just offhand at all.
Okay, the answer is, this is actually sort of really technical. This is going to get really persnickety right now.
Great.
Because when you think about it, ED, of course, can be the past tense, you know, like whatever, I walked or whatever. But we also have past participles, which are not verbs. But see, that's where I think it gets persnickety, because past participles are past. And wait, Fletcher, do you know, let's re-quiz Fletcher on something else here.
Let's do this.
Of course, Fletcher.
Fletcher, what is a participle?
Is it when a verb is acting as something else?
Very good. What something else is it?
A noun. A noun. An adjective.
That's a gerund.
I knew it.
A noun is a gerund. The participle is the
adjective.
Adjective. Okay. Like the crying baby.
Yeah.
The running dog. It has ing, and then past participles is wrecked house or something. The ed there is a past participle. So if we're going to be technical, the ed in this case makes. It's used as a, not as a verb, but as a past participle. And then couldn't we use it somewhere else too? We can also use it as a passive.
Yeah, because that's a biggie. Because when you say like, it will be delivered, that's a passive. It's not, it was delivered yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It will be delivered tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But so technically, Carrie, I hope that was your answer to your friend. ED endings to verbs are not always the past tense.
But what you're doing now is you're transforming that word from a verb into a participle. Although, but the passive tense isn't. And then also, I'm really getting confused about this. That's a present tense.
That's clever, Ross.
That's a present tense ED ending as well. So
I'm excited about that example.
Okay, so we've basically answered this. It's not, but it's a little tricky. With the participle sense, it basically changes from a verb to a participle.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ED, of course, can be used passively, which does answer the question. So, Carrie, here you go.
I would like to know, where did you come up with this question? Were you guys sitting in a bar and having this fascinating conversation?
I love it. I love the people sit around and think about these things.
I know. It's really interesting, actually. You think about it. I don't think I ever really thought about it until right now. So
I never did. Anyway.
Okay, moving along. We're going to go to the final part of the hardest spelling test ever.
Mm-hmm.
Last time, Kathy made a note right here for us. Very crudely. Last time, Fletcher, you got 3 wrong out of 10 in Kathy's words.
I prefer to think that I got 7 right out of 10.
That's
interesting. That's like, it's all in how you look at stuff, isn't it? Ain't that laugh?
I had a really good run to start out with that first set of 10, and then I really flamed out toward the end. But I think I just got tired. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was tobogganed.
Yes. Let's see if you're going to get your bachelor's degree in spelling right now. Kath, you want to read the first one?
The first word is baccalaureate.
Yes, okay. baccalaureate. So in high school, I was part of the international baccalaureate program, right?
Oh, not, so you're going to know this
not
one,
just
then.
National. No. The thing is, I have to stop and really think really hard every time I would write that out. It's not like I've written that. High
that
school
was a while ago.
High school was a long time ago. So it's not like I've written that out much recently, but I do remember every time I would write that out, I would have to stop and think, well, I will probably get this wrong. Let's see. B-A-C-C-A-L-A-U-R-E-A-T-E.
Perfect.
You got it.
Good. Okay.
Fletcher, you get your degree.
That is still there.
You get your baccalaureate degree.
Still there somewhere in my head, I guess. Thank goodness.
Anyway, the problem is the double C. Most people stumble on the double C. Mm.
And,
so.
Okay. And do people, I wonder if people wonder where the U, whether there ought to be another U or something. Baccalaureate.
That could be. So, very good, Fletcher. The next word is a word that I, as a kid, I had a real, I liked going to the beach and stuff like that. And I was always fascinated by these animals, but I always had a problem pronouncing it, let alone spelling it. Anemone.
Oh, sure. That's just anemone, right? A-N-E.
Yes.
M-O-N-E. Mm-hmm. Anemone.
You got it.
Yeah.
You got it.
I now take this break to give you one of my favorite puns
please.
That I saw on a t-shirt at a garden center that was with fronds like these, who needs anemones?
I
almost wept. It was so perfect.
I like that. That's cute. What does that word mean, anemone?
It comes from the ancient Greek, wind flower.
Wind.
And think
of
it.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, anemos is wind, and then you can think of that like, you know, animate. Here I go again. Animate. That sort of thing, too.
Yeah.
But it's like to breathe, that sort of thing. The early anima, which is spirit in Latin, same thing.
Yeah, that's
what I always... The wind. I like that.
But I always, as a kid, I said anemone and then amino. I always mix them. And I, to this day, I have a slight hesitation when I go to those.
Okay, the next word has nothing to do with flowers.
Hmm.
Sadly. Unless you're photographing them in the past.
Okay.
The word is daguerreotype.
Oh, yeah.
We also want a definition, Fletcher.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know the process, but it's basically like a photograph before a photograph. It's like an image put onto a plate, like a metal plate.
I'm sorry, but you didn't put iodine or vapor of mercury in, so we cannot count that as correct.
I'm sorry, Kathy. I think Fletcher...
you interrupt.
Fletcher gets extra credit, Kat. I'm very impressed with that one. The silver plate is extremely... The plate is extremely impressive.
No iodine.
Boy, I saw an exhibition at a museum once of daguerreotypes. They are stunning. They're just so haunting.
I know.
You know? Gosh, they're gorgeous.
We've got a few of them. We found them in old books.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And I don't want to get rid of them either. I agree with you, Fletcher. They're really haunting, and they're like, you're staring at people from the past, mm-hmm. and there's something more real about them than a photograph, to me, at least.
It really feels that way.
Was that where it took a long time, so you had to stay very still for X amount of seconds? Or
Yeah. I think that was true of photography, too, but even more so for daguerreotypes. And so you would get, I guess, sort of people just staring into the distance for quite a while in order to create that image.
You could also get slight movement sometimes. It's like slightly, the person will have moved a little bit, it'll be fuzzy.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah, that's also very ghostly when you see that movement. Oh, they're so cool. Are they named after a guy named Daguerre? Is that the deal?
Yeah. Very good.
Okay.
Ross, these are not harder. These are easier. I'm very upset.
All right. So a daguerreotype is D-A-G-U-E-R-R-O-T-Y-P-E.
No. No.
What am I missing?
There is an E between the R and the O.
Right, because sometimes people do say daguerreotype, don't they?
Yeah,
daguerreotype. You don't get rid of the E at the end of the guy's name. Well, you got me there. Yeah, that's interesting.
Very good, Ross. I was moving along.
Yeah.
It also was sad, though, because Fletcher knew what it was, which I think very few people do nowadays.
Ross, he did not mention vapor of mercury. I'm thinking, all right, I got to go back to that.
I totally forgot that E was in there. Absolutely. I would have written it the way I said it, I would have just gone on with the rest of my life spelling it without that E.
Okay, Fletcher, you got one wrong, but I still think you should get some credit for knowing what
give
it
me,
was.
Just put a little star by that one or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, this is a favorite of ours from old days in geometry class. Isosceles.
I hated geometry.
Isosceles. Okay, so a good thing about having gotten one wrong last week is that that one, I put an SC in the wrong place. The word was resuscitate, and I spelled it resuscitate, I think. So with isosceles, I think putting the C in the wrong place would also give it the wrong sound. Oh, God, but now I'm questioning myself. Let me just spell it. Okay, isosceles, I-S-O-S-C-E-L-E-S. Isosceles.
Correct.
Yes. See?
You got it.
Okay. So my worry there was that it's I-S-C-O, but of course that would be isosceles.
Correct.
Yep. Very good.
Do you know what isosceles means?
Let's see. Isosceles has two angles the same. Yeah, two angles the same, right? And then
two equal sides.
Two equal sides. Same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, because we've got your scalene, which is no equal sides, and then you've got your isosceles, which is two.
All this,
I know, I got like
happily
a pit in,
forgotten.
I got a pit in my stomach, thinking I got to study for the test. I don't want to.
I just love this. I don't know, Ross, where did you get this? It's obviously a British dictionary.
Oh, yeah.
The common mnemonic to remember the spelling is the phrase, "I sat on Swanage Cliffs." Eating lovely egg sandwiches.
I love Brits. I know. I know. I love that one.
Oh, I don't think we said that they're triangles. They're triangles. We're talking about triangles.
Oh,
here.
Yeah. We've got that part.
Yeah. And it comes from the Greek, actually, of course. It comes from the Greek isos, which means equal, and then skelos, which means leg.
Okay.
So in effect, they're two sides. They're easy.
Okay.
Related from the word skel, which is to bend or to curve, and there's another word, scoliosis, which also has a relationship to the word.
Yeah, how about that?
And now, speaking of Greeks, the next word is onomatopoeia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We do this one.
This one, I gotta say, always throws me.
This is one I've spelled lots of times in my life. And of course, I always have to stop and make sure that I get all the letters in there. But I can, it's, of course, very easy to see why anybody would misspell it in all sorts of different ways, especially because we often say, like, the way the word, the letters or the sounds come out, it almost sounds like onomatopoeia sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, onomato, onomatopoeia.
Beautiful. Nicely
beautiful, Fletch.
Done.
Should I say all that in a row again? Onomatopoeia.
Yep.
Wow.
The P-O part is what usually throws people. The P-O, that's what throws me, I know. P-O-E-I-A.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's not a common string.
Yeah. And maybe I should have been also doing this to define the words. So onomatopoeia is like a word that's made out of a sound, or a word that's supposed to approximate a sound, like thud,
right,
or plop. Mm.
Right, and it comes from the Greek, which is onoma, which is word or name, and then poeia is in Greek is to make, and out of that word also comes poet.
Oh, nice.
A poet is a person who makes words.
Oh, yeah, good.
But there's an interesting thing. I think, Kath, you put this one up.
Mm.
How many? There are only 33 words in English that end in E-I-A. And of those words, I mean, there are very, very few that we would even begin to use. I think that's actually the only one that we really would use.
Well, the only other one, and that's a proper noun, was Cassiopeia. I just know because of, astronomy. Star stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But star stuff. Really well done, Cassie.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah, and most of it's names or like Greeky words that like you never would use.
Yeah.
Semeia, which is either of two divisions of a foot. Okay, that's really useful. I think we use that all the time. So that's really, I mean, that's a killer one that you got, Fletcher. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
He's only gotten one wrong, and that has an asterisk on it.
Yeah,
so.
That was the one I knew the most about, right?
I know, I think this guy with these killer words is really, I think we're going to have to call these, like, easy words.
I
want to
write
something.
Him a nasty letter.
I know.
Hey, I started out hot last time, so we'll see how this goes.
Okay, well, this one I think you're going to... This one, unfortunately, has a little trick into it. So, predaceous.
What is it?
Predaceous.
Is that like... I don't actually know what predaceous means. It sounds like it has something to do with like a predator, but I don't know.
Okay. Just keep going. Okay. Spell it now.
I didn't know it either. And Ross was like, you don't know predaceous? I said, no.
Well, I liked biology as a kid. I liked always, like, you know, looking for animals when I was a kid. So, whatever.
All right, P-R-E-D-A, pred-day. I mean, the inclination is to just say T-I-O-U-S, right? But I want to say C-I-O-U-S.
Yep, you got it right.
Ha-ha.
Also, had you said P-R-E-D-A-C-O-U-S, you also would have been correct.
It's really?
C-E-O-U-S.
C-E-O-U-S.
Sorry, yeah, E-O-U-S.
Oh, that makes sense. So, but it is both C-I or C-E, either one?
Yes.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. So tell me what this means.
Basically, it means animals that live by preying on other animals.
Oh, okay.
Sort of like carnivorous.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
predatory.
In that sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in biology, interestingly enough, when we put this up, I always knew it as C-E-O-U-S. Mm-hmm. And apparently that's the preferred biological one.
That makes sense.
I mean, you could say a predaceous individual, you know, or human or whatever. I prefer the E-O-U-S, but they're saying technically it should be I-O-U-S, like as in pugnacious, rapacious, etc.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever used the word predaceous, nor will I probably.
Yeah. I mean, we say something more like predatory or something like that, which maybe isn't literally exactly the same thing, but it's basically the same thing.
It's basically the same thing. Yeah. Predatory or or predaceous is the same thing.
Yeah.
But you did very well, Fletcher.
Thank you. I mean, I lucked out. There were two different possible spellings on that one, so I think I got a little lucky.
The next word is hieroglyphics.
Hieroglyphics. Man, I think I'm going to get this wrong. I may get the right letters, but I'm not sure I'm going to get them in the right order. It's something weird. Now I may even miss a letter. Gosh. We're going to try this. Okay. H-I-E-R-O-G-L-Y-P-H-I-C-S.
You got it.
Yeah.
I did get it. It's H-I-E, not H-E-I.
And that's the problem. The temptation is to reverse the I and the E, like make it heir to the throne, if you will, or something like that.
Yeah. Well, we're so much more used to having E-I be the I sound.
Yep.
Yeah.
This one, I don't know, Kathy, about you. We lived in Egypt when we were little kids for a while, when our dad was and our parents were there. Mm-hmm. And we always were seeing hieroglyphics everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I knew this one from age like 10 or 8.
Yeah.
Didn't you, Kathy, or not?
No. I was younger. I was 3 years younger.
Yeah, you were younger. Yeah. That's right.
I was busy doing my own thing.
That wasn't your bailiwick.
Ooh. Bailiwick. Bailiwick. Bailiwick is like your wheelhouse. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of wheelhouse, we can talk about that another time, but I want to know how something became in your wheelhouse, like why that became a good thing. But bailiwick, I think, is B-A-I-L-I-W-I-C-K, bailiwick? You guys aren't even paying attention now. You're off looking up.
You said wheelhouse.
You're off looking up wheelhouse.
Yeah, wheelhouse.
Okay, Fletcher. Spell it again.
Spell it again, Fletcher.
Is it B-A-I-L-I-W-I-C-K?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
You got it. Yeah. You got it.
I think, though, that Ross, that you made it a little easier because you really pronounced the E, bailiwick.
I know. I shouldn't have done that.
It's usually like
I know.
Not quite bailiwick. As Lee. It's
no,
like
I know. I was spelling. I was doing a spelling pronunciation.
I usually hear it with more of the E sound, bailiwick. I usually hear that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I always hear it more as a bailiwick.
Actually, it is more bailiwick. It is bailiwick.
Yeah.
I would say bailiwick.
I say bailiwick. I lied over the E.
You say bailiwick, we say bailiwick. Let's call the whole thing off.
Yeah, I say wheelhouse. What is a bailiwick? Literally, what is a bailiwick?
Oh, it comes, it's basically a, the original idea was the district of a bailiff, like a royal office, a place under the jurisdiction of a royal officer.
Oh, yeah.
And then wick is village in Old English.
So you had bailiff and wick.
Yeah. Okay.
So you live in the, you know, so basically you're talking about his or her, you know, area.
His area. Of, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Wow.
Now, wheelhouse, I'm looking up. Okay, structure enclosing a large wheel. But they're saying that the wheelhouse came from a hitter's power zone in 1990. Yeah,
I read that too.
I thought it was before that.
I thought it was like from like 1800s or something.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like something that would have originated with baseball in the 1990s. That seems like something that baseball would have adopted.
Yeah, I'm seeing, okay, people are just, no one's saying for sure, but it's probably because since that was where the helm was located, the wheelhouse, it's like your area of expertise.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Financial Post has a huge article on it. And they're saying in the mid-1800s, like you're saying, Kath, the steamboat area.
Yeah, that makes much more sense than the...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then in the 50s, baseball writers picked it up and started doing it as the batter strike zone.
Mm-hmm. So you're steering a boat. You're literally in the wheelhouse, and that's what you're doing well. I mean, I hope.
Yeah, I hope. Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, this was a toughie.
Acetylene.
Acetylene. First of all, what is acetylene? I mean, I know some sort of compound, but like what was acetylene used for?
I only know of it from welding. Acetylene, you have acetylene torch.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's supposedly a gas,
okay.
I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a flammable gas or like a gas that
Oh, so
burns.
That would be, so then you've got your torch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you weld with. I've never welded.
No, me neither. That would be a disaster. Acetylene.
Muy bien.
Okay, Fletcher, I'm upset. Let's go, actually, okay, plenipotentiary. This is easy.
I love this word.
You're going to get this one, I think.
Okay, plenipotentiary. I may have seen this. I don't have any idea what it means. Do you want to tell me now or maybe tell me after?
Actually, we have another episode coming up where we're going to distinguish between plenipotentiary and ambassadorial. So just spell it this time and we'll do it the next time. Stay tuned for the definition of plenipotentiary.
I can see one spot where this definitely might trip me up, but I'll just try to be pretty basic here. Plenipotentiary.
No.
Okay. Is it plene?
Pleni.
I.
Potentiary. Ary.
P-O.
Pleni.
Okay.
Potentiary.
Plenipotentiary. Oh, no, I never, ever would have gotten that. Plenipotentiary, that looks bizarre in my head.
Okay, this is probably for me. I was in the Foreign Service, you know, in the State Department, and there are always these plenipotentiary guys racing around. So this one I knew automatically. I thought it would...
This is a word I don't think I really am involved with in my life.
Well, I've met many...
I just love it.
I do too. I've met many envoys plenipotentiary in my life in those days. And I guess I thought the word was more common than it is, I guess.
I think that the next word... I was surprised. The New York Times said that this was the hardest of 5,966 distinct words in the 2025 spelling bee puzzles. This stumped more players than any other word. Ready?
Okay.
I'm surprised.
Okay.
Philhellenic.
Philhellenic? Is that like someone who loves Greeks?
Yes. It's a friend of Greece.
Well, I don't see the trick here unless I'm just missing something. Philhellenic?
You got it, Fletcher.
Okay.
That's why that surprised me.
Yeah, that surprises me too. I mean, you just kind of have to know the parts. And if I know the parts, then you think that most people doing that would too.
I thought it was odd because also we have like, it comes from the Greek word philos, which means loving.
Mm-hmm.
And we know philosophy, you know, lover of wisdom, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know the Greeks were also called Hellenes, Hellenic. So
whereas
I
believe philo
obvious.
Is also a dough.
I was actually waiting for you to say that, Kathy. I knew you would. So it's doughy Greeks then.
Speak for yourself, son.
Okay, Fletcher, we're going to end with the word that I'm... You basically really have one half wrong only, I would give you,
yeah.
But whatever.
What? No. I totally face-planted on plenipotentiary.
Oh, plenipotentiary. Yes,
yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay, climactically.
Climactically. Well, climactic, C-L-I-M-A-C-T-I-C. Climactic, is it just L-Y or is it A-L-L-Y? Is that the tricky part? I'll say A-L-L-Y.
You got it.
It is. Climactic.
Yep.
Oli. Okay. I was worried that it was like publicly where we just have the L-Y on the end.
Yeah.
That seems sort of unfair to me in terms of spelling and the spelling gods or whatever. Because like publicly should be spelled A-L-L-Y then,
yeah,
or
yeah.
climactically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
I
this
totally
isn't fair,
yeah.
you know?
Well, Fletcher, you only got three wrong, and according to Ross, it's 2.5. So.
Well, daguerreotype, I mean, I did get it wrong, and I would have continued to get it wrong. So obviously the thing there was my extra little star for, you know, knowing something about it. And the other
except
two...
Except for the iodine.
The other, except for the iodine. I just didn't get there yet. So plenipotentiary, and then what was the third one?
I think you got two right. You only got 2 or 1.5.
No, there was... Okay, wait a second. We had baccalaureate was right, anemone. I have 3. Daguerreotype wrong. Isosceles correct. Onomatopoeia was correct.
I got that.
Predaceous correct. Hieroglyphics correct. Bailiwick correct. Plenipotentiary and this. Yeah, 2.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, Kathy, you have a problem with counting. Maybe not spelling.
I didn't like math, Ross.
See, what happens is it's like 1, and then after 1 comes 2, and then after that comes 3.
That always throws me.
That 3 problem. Yeah.
1, 2, and some others. That's right.
And more.
You're Saying It Wrong is part of the NPR network and is produced in the studios of KMUW in Wichita, Kansas by me, Fletcher Powell. Kathy Petrus records from her home in Armilla, Spain. Ross Petrus from his home in Toronto, Ontario in Canada. Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Our digital team is Beth Golay and Carly Cooper. Carly Cooper is also our video editor. You can subscribe to our channel on YouTube. You can find all of our past episodes by subscribing to the You're Saying It Wrong podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, or by visiting us at kmuw.org. If you have a question for Kathy and Ross, if you'd like to suggest a topic or you just want to reach out, you can email me at powell@kmuw.org or email them at kandrpetrus@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo of yourself asking your question. You might get your voice heard on air. Or you can download the KMUW app and press the Talk to Us button. You can find Kathy and Ross's books pretty much anywhere you get books, and a handful of them are also available on audiobook, read by the authors themselves. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.